system over the plains is remaining rather stationary over the eastern part of Nebraska, and that's lifting a warm front northward across the Midwest. That's what we have the result of today. Winds across the region have been blowing out of the south and have been gusty at times, and afternoon temperatures have been moving up. We are in the low to mid-70s right now, but many of us should hit the 80 mark by the end of the day. Showers and thunderstorms could also develop along the frontal boundary and track east across Missouri, Illinois, and into Indiana and Kentucky. And some of those storms could potentially reach severe limits, with large hail and damaging winds the main threat. An isolated tornado may be possible amid some of those thunderstorms that may pop up. The warm and unsettled weather pattern continues through midweek, but not beyond that. Waves of showers and thunderstorms could be moving in as well. Temperatures in the upper 80s. Although our forecast for east central Illinois shows a little bit of break as far as precipitation goes through midweek, that chance will come back late in the week and drop the temperatures down quite a bit too. The forecast for the rest of the afternoon, partly sunny and breezy with a chance of showers and thunderstorms and a high of 80 degrees, southeast winds at 15 to 25 miles an hour, gusting to around 30 miles an hour for the rest of the day. Skies will be cloudy overnight tonight, and there is a lingering chance of showers and thunderstorms, a low of 65, southeast winds at 15 to 20. For tomorrow, mostly sunny, bit warmer, the high 88 degrees, south winds at 15 to 20. Partly cloudy Tuesday night with a low of 68. And Wednesday, partly sunny and a little less breezy, the high of 87, winds in the southwest at 10 to 15. From there, though, a chance of showers and thunderstorms moves in throughout the period beginning Wednesday night into next weekend. Partly sunny Thursday and Friday, mostly cloudy Saturday, partly sunny on Sunday, but still that lingering chance of rain shower or storm. Cloudy through that period at night. Highs Thursday in the low 80s, down to the low 70s on Friday, and only the lower 60s for Saturday and Sunday. Wednesday night's lows in the mid-60s, Thursday night in the upper 50s, and by the time we hit Saturday night, low temperatures will be in the upper 40s. Low to mid-70s, as mentioned, are the rule across east-central Illinois at the moment, from 70 degrees at Danville to 71 in Bloomington, 72 in Rantoul. It's 75 degrees in Springfield and Taylorville, 74 at Mattoon, and 75 degrees in Decatur at the moment with cloudy skies. The only sunshine reported in Danville, Rantoul, and Mattoon. The further east you go, the more sun you're getting. At Willard Airport at the top of the hour, it was cloudy in 74 with a dew point of 59, the relative humidity at 59%. Winds from the southeast at 21 to 26 miles an hour, and the barometer falling at 29.89. Right now, on the thermometer at Friends Plaza here on the U of I campus, it's 74 degrees. Twelve 40 now on the Afternoon Magazine, and up next, Gabriel Spitzer brings us another installment of his science experiment called Clever Apes. Last time, we learned about some of the yucky sides of science, and today it's the science of disgust. And be warned, on your lunch hour, the subject matter does get a little gross.
Disgust is a powerful feeling. It can make us lose our appetite or cross to the other side of the street. It affects the partners we choose, the laws we make, and even the way we organize society. But what disgust is and where it comes from, we're only beginning to understand.
Tyrannosaurus!
Whoa! I'm Gabriel Spitzer, and this is Clever Apes. In the last installment, we checked out flesh-eating beetles and dead animals in our food, things most of us would call disgusting. But what is disgust, and why does it hold such power over people? In this edition, we consider the nature and origin of yuckiness. We'll start by going right to the experts on gross stuff, kids.
Pussy, band-aids.
I don't like blood.
Ugh. Seeing someone, like, puke.
Slugs kind of gross me out, and bugs that deposit slime.
Slimy stuff.
Slime is gross. Green slime.
I think that poop is really gross.
Bugs that are squished are really gross.
Bugs that are alive gross me out.
One thing that grosses me out a lot is that when I see other people's eyes and like the bottom of their eyes and the red in the eyes, it just, I can't look.
Pot pies.
Those were kids at Chicago's Museum of Science and Industry on what they find gross. Just hearing some of those things can make you wince. Disgust provokes a real physical reaction. Here's University of Pennsylvania psychologist Paul Rosin.
Among the emotions, disgust is the most distinctive in the sense that it has a very clear physiological marker, and that's nausea. You will see a pushing away, a disgust face. The disgust face is probably originated as a way of closing the nostril, expelling food from the mouth.
Those physical reactions, it turns out, may be a clue to where disgust comes from. Let's go back to those kids and their parents to understand what feeling disgusted does to the body.
Feels like you're about to barf.
My stomach kind of turns over like I'm going to gag.
Oh, it gives me chills and a bad tummy.
Kind of just my nerves kind of tickle.
Well, I just go like just shiver a little.
So I get the chills.
My legs kind of hurt. It's weird. I get like pain inside, you know, down my legs.
Makes me want to scream and run away.
When you see it, you'll know quick. Things marked yuck make you sick. Sick, sick, sick. Mr. Yuck is me. Mr. Yuck is green.
So, Professor Fessler, how does your body react when you encounter something that's disgusting?
Well, my body is not particularly reactive. I'm not that easily disgusted. That's probably one of the things that allows me to study this emotion.
So it clearly takes a strong stomach to be an evolutionary anthropologist. And that, of course, is what Daniel Fessler is. He directs the Center for Behavior, Evolution, and Culture at UCLA. And he's with us now to talk a little bit more about the nature of disgust. So as an emotion, how important is disgust as a shaper of behaviors and social structures?
Oh, I think it's profoundly important. It operates at many, many levels. So at the most basic level, it shapes much of our food behavior. Somewhat more profoundly, it influences quite a bit of our sexual behavior. And it's a prime mover in our moral behavior. Everything from behaviors of juries in criminal trials to elections to responses by religious officials.
So what might be the origin of disgust? Where does it come from?
Well, in evolutionary terms, it's clear from the gastrointestinal responses that are central to the emotion that the core or oldest form of this emotion involves the regulation of what we ingest and, importantly, the rejection of materials that our body identifies as toxic. However, the emotion has subsequently, over the course of human evolution, taken on many, many other functions.
So it began with this evolutionary advantage of keeping us from eating something that's, say, rotten or crawling with maggots or otherwise unsuitable for consumption?
Right.
What are some of the ways that that then gets generalized to other parts of our life and our behavior?
Now, once you have this things that may make me sick, I need to stay away from response, that can then be entangled with general disease avoidance behaviors. So we start to feel nauseated when we, you know, hear someone vomiting on an airplane, for example, right? Vomit, a classic example, along with feces and blood. These are all examples of body products that pose a substantial risk for disease transmission.
So how does that then broaden out to slightly more removed spheres of social interaction, like sexuality?
All sexually reproducing organisms have the problem that they need to identify appropriate mates and distinguish those from inappropriate mates. And an important problem in that process is avoiding mating with close kin. And this is part of our evolved psychology. Now, what happens is that when we have things like regulating eating behavior and regulating sexual behavior using these very deep evolved systems, they're also open to cultural input. Some things, like inbreeding, are disgusting without ever having been taught that they are. But there are other things where we happily accept other people's word for it, as it were, that this thing is disgusting. Take a perfectly edible food item that, you know, has no negative health consequences. In one society, it can be a prized delicacy. And in another society, it's considered absolutely disgusting and polluting.
So it doesn't break out neatly along a sort of nature versus nurture rubric, because the nurture is written into your nature.
That's absolutely correct. In many ways, the nature-nurture dichotomy is a false one. We're able to learn those things and motivated to learn them precisely because we have an evolved psychology that supports that learning. Now, once you have a system like that, you have a perfect opportunity to define and guard social boundaries. That is, to mark out a line as to where one group ends and another group begins.
Does that then lead into why disgust becomes a language in which we understand ethnocentrism or xenophobia even?
Absolutely. And this is an example, I think, of cultural evolution exploiting part of our evolved psychology. And it's very easy for cultural groups to say the people on the other side of the river, the people on whatever side of social or national boundary we choose to draw, those people are a source of disease. And we see this again and again, tragically, in history. They're metaphorically described as insects or rodents that are seen as disease transmitting.
What is it that interests you about disgust? What do you find compelling about it?
Well, it's, I think, particularly impressive that one emotion shapes so many different domains of human experience and behavior. So everything from behaviors that are elementary, like eating and sexuality, to behaviors that are profound, like morality. So here we have a single emotion spanning everything from my body detects that I have eaten something that makes me ill to the most important things that humans value, the things that they consider truly good and truly evil and that they're willing to lay down their lives for.
Well, on that note, we thank Dan Fessler. He is an evolutionary anthropologist and evolutionary psychologist at UCLA. You might remember him from our Fire episode. Thanks for being with us, Dan Fessler.
My pleasure.
That closes out another round of Clever Apes. Big thanks to producer Michael DeBonis. Check out our first episode about yucky stuff and hear about the one thing that still grosses out Dan Fessler at our website, wbez.org/cleverapes. You can also subscribe to our podcast there and find us on Facebook and Twitter.
Every step we take to prevent the spread of disease means increased happiness and greater living efficiency for all of us.
Well, I feel better. I'm Gabriel Spitzer, back soon with more Clever Apes.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday. It's the 9th of May, 2011. The birth of Alan Bennett, the playwright, Leeds, England, 1934. His career began when he was at Oxford. He became a member of a review called Beyond the Fringe. Been writing plays ever since, many for television, including his series of monologues for the BBC Talking Heads and his screenplay The History Boys. It's the birthday of the poet Charles